Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
Oh,
Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. We want to welcome you across the internet, wherever you're at tonight. A special welcome to our Filipino family in Manila area, Legazpi, and also to our Orange County Soul Sister Sunday group. We want to say thank you for joining us tonight. We are talking about The Gift in You by Dr. Caroline Leaf. My sister's going to be talking about Chapter 4, but she's going to go first, and I'm talking about Chapter 3. So let's open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this night. We pray that you would be with us. Help us to feel your presence. Help us to concentrate and decide tonight if there'd be anything good or honorable and pure to think on those things. And help us make a choice of what we would concentrate on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Deb.
So this chapter is called Operating in Your Gift. Operating in your gift allows you to choose love and not fear. No one else can understand us until we understand who we are created to be. When you find a problem you can uniquely solve, such as things that come easily for you and maybe are difficult for other people, that might be the area that you're gifted in. When you understand your gift and its structure and operate in it, you will then find your true value, who you are created to be. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. So there's no such thing as someone that does not have a gift, because Scripture tells us that we have all been given gifts. God has equipped you to accomplish his purpose. And if you're not sure what your gift is, you know, stay with us and we'll go over more in more detail how to find your gift. But also ask God. Ask God what your gift is and ask him to show you and help you know what your gift is. So use your gift. Don't waste your life. You know, one day we're going to answer to God and he'll say, I gave you that gift and what did you do with it? You did nothing with it.
Yeah.
You know, and he gives you this gift to accomplish his purpose and to help others. And so we need to be using our gifts. In Proverbs 9, 1-6, it says, wisdom has built a house. She has carved its seven columns. She's prepared a great banquet, mixed the wines, and set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come, and she calls out from the heights overlooking the city, come in with me, she urges. The simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways behind and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment. And it talks about these seven columns of wisdom. And what's so amazing is they finally found that the brain actually does have seven columns that we use. And I love when the Bible is ahead of science. You know, the Bible talked about the circle of the earth back when people thought that the earth was flat. And just recently they have found that the heart has a brain. And, you know, the Bible talks a lot about things coming from the heart. And as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And here's a quote that I found. It says, for more than a simple pump, as once believed, the heart is now recognized by scientists as a complex system with its own brain. So if you Google the heart has a brain, you'll find a lot of information on this. Brain science is very clear on the benefits of thinking deeply to develop the brain's intelligence and wisdom. As a popular phrase in the world of neuroscience puts it, use it or lose it. So I think it's just like anything. You have to use that part of your brain or you lose it. And just like working out, you have to use that muscle or you're not going to have the strength. The more you think, the more your brain grows, making you wiser and more intelligent. Our brains are designed with the ability to restructure and rewire. And I think Tammy has a lot more on this.
Well, you were talking about muscle right there. And it's funny because Sandra just started a workout, you know, routine. And she said how sore she was. And I think sometimes we're afraid to learn things new because literally it hurts your brain, you know, if you think of it that way. And you're like a couple days later, especially if it's like a computer program or Becky's like, oh, yeah.
Or Medicare.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started billing DSHS, and I remember thinking, oh, my word, it's so different. Why is it so different? Why? So, yeah, no, I get the billing insurance. I used to do that for the dental office. So to learn something new isn't always fun, and I know that I'm a lot better in learning things that I enjoy than that I don't enjoy. And I think so many times we open the Bible and we think, this makes no sense. Okay, thou shalt have no fun in life. And that's what we think it says. And it's so not true. I gave a good friend of mine the Message version tonight. She's a new Christian. And said, hey, just read this like a novel. You know, now when we say we don't understand the Bible, as using that area in our brain that we're not used to using, and we're building those new pathways, just like anything else. We need to read it over and over. And it doesn't have to be something we don't understand. I know a lot of teenagers have said, I don't understand the Bible, and that's not an excuse anymore because you can find so many great translations, so many things that are so easy to read. I highly recommend the Message in the form called The Story, and I think we've had that before here. Many times the Christian bookstore has it for like $5. And so we're talking about what our brain does and how it works. But I thought this was so interesting. Actually, Debbie was supposed to do chapter 3 and I asked her if we could switch. In Psalms 139 is a verse that we have heard many times. And as mothers, most of us in the room, or maybe someday to be mothers, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalms 139:13. I love how she says this. You were created intentionally. Intentionally. Scott and I waited 5 years before we wanted to have kids. We wanted to be married without children for a few years. And so our children are born 2 years apart, 5 years and about 9 months after we were married, on purpose, very intentionally. And so I knew what I was getting into when I had kids. I had been around kids, like many of you have babysat or whatever, for years, and I knew what I was getting into. And you know what? I made sure I was pretty ready for it. So on our 5th anniversary, I believe I was a few months pregnant, and again on our 7th anniversary. And we were excited. And it is very intentional. I always knew I'd have boys. I told my sister when I was 5 or 6 years old I'd have 2 boys. They'd be in white tuxedos at Easter. And so she bought me 2 white tuxedos at our second baby shower. And that's what they wore.
I was fulfilling your prophecy.
You were fulfilling it. And but it was very, my children in my life are very intentional. And so I think so many times that we think that we were a mistake somewhere. And that is so not true. My dad always says there's no illegitimate children, only illegitimate parents. And God has knit someone in their womb and knows exactly what we would be like. It says he did not design you to be limited. I love that part. There is an old conventional wisdom for years held that the brain doesn't grow or change after early childhood, and as we age, that our brain progressively digresses and lets us down. Also, it was believed that once the brain was damaged, it would always be damaged. I know we've heard in some states they're trying to change the drinking age to a later time because the brain is not developed at 21. Especially if you're male, yeah. So there is no real brain development. They have said that in sexuality with a lot of people. There's a lot of compromising situations, and I won't get into that. But we do not have that moral compass, really, till we're almost 27 years old. So, you know, they're finding that changing ages and saying, oh, you're 18, you're an adult, you're done, that is so not right. To look at any 18-year-old, I don't care how mature they are, and to say that, oh, they're just an adult now. Not that we shouldn't give someone freedom, but to realize that, you know, we're going to make mistakes. How many of you think that your own brain is not fully developed? Yes, I think that sometimes too. But the new news is a newly emerged science of neuroplasticity shows us the brain has the ability to reorganize itself, changing and altering its structure as we think. It can adjust to trauma and rewire toxic thoughts and learning patterns. And so I try to do this at work because I'm around a lot of negativity. And kids are in trouble all the time. they wouldn't be in the program if they're not in trouble. And I've had so many teachers and therapists say to me, well, they're like that. They're supposed to be like that. That's why they're in the program. So I decide that I will verbally say, if they do anything good, I am so proud of you for doing that. Well, he just called me a name, and you didn't respond. I am so proud of you for doing that. I am so proud of you for not making him or her ruin your day. I'm so proud of that. And I say it so much that they look at me and some of the other adults roll their eyes. Like, oh, great. Here we go again. Twinkle Toes is back. Because I love positive reinforcement. And I think it helps our brain. The brain can address to trauma. Okay. The brain can grow and change as we think, all under our control. Neuroplasticity research is outlining the boundless potential of the human brain and providing hope, a far cry from the theory of unchanging brain. And I know that Susie, and she should be listening tonight, has been here before. She's one of my neighbors, and she was in a very serious car wreck when she was 3, and in a coma, and she had just been adopted, told by her adopted parents she would not live. And if she did live, she would never talk, walk, do anything on her own. And she came out of the coma, and she obviously walks and talks, and she has a psychology major and a sociology minor. And she was told that she would never talk, as she's in a wheelchair. You won't ever talk. Can you imagine? And, she still has some disabilities, of course, but the area of her brain that was damaged the movements have been replaced by the other parts of the brain that aren't even supposed to take over that area. My friend Christy, her really good friend, her daughter had an entire left hemisphere ectomy. The entire left part of her brain was removed. She's about 12 years old, I think. And they said, when we take this out, she's not going to understand anymore. She's not going to be able to talk anymore. But they had to do this to get rid of, I think it was severe seizures. Mm-hmm. But it was something that would kill her. So we're happy to report that a couple years later, she's talking, which means the left part of the brain that handles all the communication has decided to find a pathway in the right part of the brain and work. And it's crazy, and they're so excited about it, they can't stand it, and they're studying her right and left. The other thing is they've learned that with autism, that somebody, the older that they get with autism, the more that the brain can repair themselves. And I remember, was it 5-6 years ago, that Johnny and Kwanda were visiting their autistic son. And they give him $1 to get chips and a pop. And it's like, and or maybe $2. Anyway, he has like a quarter left. So he comes home with his quarter, and he puts it just in his bowl. So every time his dad went down, he says, Dad, I need more money. I don't have any more money. But yet he'd have tons of quarters. And so, okay, no, that's fine. And so he'd take the quarters and turn them back for dollars and return the dollars to him because he's really into dollars. Dollars is a big deal to him. Well, it was so great. He says he almost cried when he went to drop off his son. And he says, well, I think you might have some money here. And his son counted change for the first time at 50 years old. So you don't think much of things like that unless it touches you. And I've said so many times before, unless you experience a disability and experience what can happen and how the brain can change and how God can heal people, you take for granted everyday things. Those of you that have worked with people with special needs, and I know that there's people in the room that have, it is a huge deal to see this kind of stuff. It's a huge deal to see everyday things happen to somebody who is considered broken. So this is great. Incredibly exciting to realize that we choose to think about how we choose to think. We can switch our genes off and on, changing the structure and the function of our brain. So there's so many people that are having therapies of therapies of therapies. And if you've ever gone to physical therapy or occupational therapy or speech therapy or whatever, it is not you just go in and it's done. It's just like if you're extremely out and you need a bunch of adjustments at the chiropractor. It's not going to happen like that. It's going to have to be to where somebody can't walk out and say, ah, it didn't work. I'm never going to do it again. They have to realize that we have to work on these things. And I think we think of therapy as something that has to continue, but we don't think of think therapy and how we need to decide every day to make a mental decision to be positive, a mental decision to not go down that pathway in your brain that is so negative. So I even talked about this to my kids, our devotional. Betty gave all the kids in the group devotionals. And this devotional talked about if there be anything pure and righteous and just of a good report, to think on these things. So I played kind of a mental game with my oldest son, and I said, okay, tell me something negative that could happen at school. And he says, well, somebody could want you to cheat. Okay, so how are we going to combat that thought in our mind? Well, think about me getting really good grades, or, you know, and just trying to work with them that way. Therapy of the mind. And it's so much we need to do that. The Bible is so direct on saying you need to make a decision to make your mind new. And, you know, I know that a lot of treatment centers and stuff, they concentrate on who you were in the past, who you were in the past, and you will always be this person in the past. And I'm sorry, but as a counselor, as a life coach, I don't believe it. I don't believe in it. I think we have tendencies to go a certain way, but I don't believe that you will always be that negativity, because my Bible says, in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come, and you have made an effort every day. I will choose this day who I will serve. I will choose this day, the song One Day at a Time, back from, what, the 70s, talking about how we have to decide every day, one day at a time. I'm working with a couple women that have extreme depression, and I will tell you, chemically depressed people, I feel horribly bad, and God sees their suffering. God sees it, and we have to pursue the positive. We have to pursue, and I put it on Facebook before, it is such a lie of the devil to isolate yourself and to say, I don't feel like talking to anybody, I don't feel like doing anything. It's such a lie of the devil. And I know, because I have taken that lie myself years ago. I remember thinking, well, nobody likes me. I'm just going to shut my phone there, and if nobody calls me today, then I'll know no one likes me. How old am I? Hello? What? I had just about slap myself in the face and look in the mirror and say, whoa. Those words are not of God. Those words are the devil. He isolates. God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way. I will show you where to go if you ask me. I'm the truth. I'm not going to lie to you, even if you don't like it. And I am life. If you're married to somebody or in a relationship with somebody that gives you freedom, it's wonderful. Because if you're in a relationship with somebody that doesn't give you freedom or has jealousy or isolates you and stuff, I will tell you, girls, it's hell on earth. It really is. Because I have had both. And it is not fun. My 11-year-old will tell you, and he said this with his arm around another girl when he was 8 years old. He says, you should play with so-and-so with me. And she says, oh, so-and-so doesn't like me to have other friends. And my little kid in second grade looks over and says, oh, you need to learn this early in life. People want to be loved, not controlled. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. But we have to decide that. It talks about how negative thoughts, negative feelings, this toxins that get into your brain actually can make you sick. They really can. You know, they've taken the saliva of somebody that's totally negative and put it to a rat and killed him. The other thing is, if you think of crabby old sick man, you think of crabby old sick. I wonder what started the other thing, you know? And even the look on someone's face that's negative, I don't know, you're an esthetician. Do they seem to age more? Do they look like they're older? Is it just me? But I've seen people that look like this and their wrinkles are going the wrong way. Like, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, you can see somebody who has, you know, smile mm-hmm. wrinkles. It's a lot prettier than frown wrinkles. It mm-hmm. just is. The other thing is it says, as we use our gifts, we are altering our brain's anatomy. This means the connective architecture of the brain differs dramatically between people because of how we think, the structure mm-hmm. of our gifts. When we think, the more connections we grow, making the memory storage area of the brain thicker and causing it to become more intelligent. Intelligent. The more intelligent we become, the deeper we think, and the more our gifts grow. Had a little counseling session with a 13-year-old the other day. Of course, none of you know her. And she says, I told my boyfriend he needs to send me flowers. And I said, whoa, you don't ask anybody to send you flowers unless they're a florist. You need to get that right now. Well, he needs to do this, and he needs to do that. And I said, whoa, wait a minute here. We need to change. She says, we need to change him. I said, no, we need to change your thinking. And she says, well, how did you know you're supposed to marry the right guy? And I said, first, I wasn't 13. That's a big hint there. Furthermore, the more we think, the more connections we grow. Okay, we can alter brain's anatomy in a positive love direction or a negative fear direction. Love and fear are opposites. Faith and fear are opposites. We start building fear pathways by entertaining toxic thinking, such as bitterness, we've all done this, worry, anxiety, anger, unforgiveness, and so on. I think so many times, and me included, we get discouraged or depressed about something, and we don't tell anybody. We don't tell anybody. And finally, we realize, if we would have told somebody, Darlene, I need you to pray for me on this. You know, Stephanie, I am so stressed up about what's happening financially. You know, Diane, I don't feel good today. And not throwing up on people, but being able to know who we can reach out to that will be stronger with us.
Especially our spouses, because they can't get their minds and we expect them to respond when
right.
we need them.
But right.
They don't know we need them.
We didn't know they needed to do that for us. That wasn't a big deal, you know, to us in our minds right then. So absolutely, speaking out in what we need and limiting who we talk negative to. Limiting. You know, there cannot be, one of the brain system or an element of the structure of your gift changes, then the system connected with it will change as well. So plasticity cannot be in isolation, meaning that if one brain system or an element of the structure of your gift changes, then the system connected with it will change as well. This is exciting because it means that positive change in one area of your brain will lead to a positive change in the other area of your brain. If you've ever eaten right, it feels gross to eat wrong again. If you've ever exercised, you think, I'm not going to have that donut because I just worked out really hard and it's not worth it. It's the back of, I just worked out so I deserve that donut. That's a backwards way of thinking. So turning that around, I think we have to go to our ending over here.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess Him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office at 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe. And we want to thank our floor directors, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.